You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single
Ave Maria Stella, hail bright star of ocean, God's own mother blessed, ever sinless virgin, gate of heavenly rest. Taking that sweet Ave, which from Gabriel came, peace confirm within us, changing Eva's name. Break the captive's fetters, light on blindness pour, all our ills expelling, every bliss implore. Show thyself a mother, may the word divine, born for us thy infant, hear our prayers through thine. Virgin, all excelling, mildest of the mild, freed from guilt preserve us, pure and undefiled. Keep our life all spotless, make our way secure, till we find in Jesus joy forevermore. Through the highest heaven to the Almighty Three, Father, Son, and Spirit, one same glory be. Amen. Brothers and sisters, thank you for joining us this afternoon on this blessed Tuesday or Friday that you may be tuning in to us here on Radio Maria Canada. Thank you again for joining us. As you know, brothers and sisters, sometimes when we're praying, you know, and we're very obedient to our Blessed Father. We are, we're faithful. We'll pray our rosary. We'll do everything we can. And sometimes we think, why is God silent? You know, there are times that we think that when we're praying and we feel as if our prayers are sort of bouncing off the ceiling, or we send up prayers but we hear nothing for such a long time. The enemy of our souls taunts us for believing in a God who is sometimes silent. It's hard to be in God's waiting room. It's just you and God. And while you're there, God shows you our sufficiency that comes from him, especially in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. So when Jesus visited his friends, Mary and Martha, after their brother's death, Jesus knew what he was going to do. He didn't rush over as soon as he heard about Lazarus. Jesus wholly relied on his Father. How does God encourage us then in those times when we hear nothing from him? So today, here are some ways God makes himself known to us, even when he is silent. Number one, God speaks to us through nature. So here is a little story I would like to share with you. As I waited on my customer at a grocery store, I watched my friend's excitement when her customer handed her a bouquet of flowers. "Look," my friend said, grinning ear to ear. "They're beautiful," I responded, adding, "My favorite flowers are lilies of the valley." It was maybe 10 minutes later. Another woman I had never seen before walked up to me with her hand extended. "These are for you," she said. In her hand was a couple of stems of lilies of the valley. I thanked her. smiling and slip those flowers into my name tag, smelling their sweet fragrance all day, tucking them into my dresser days later. I kept them for years. Why were they so special? My mom had died just months earlier, and I was depressed. Though I'd put on a smile day to day when I went to work, my heart was broken. Not long after, I learned God is near to the brokenhearted, and that you'll find in Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Without one word, God ministered to me in flowers. So, brothers and sisters, has that ever happened to you? Has someone ever shown a bit of kindness in your most deepest, saddest, darkest days? God gives us strength, brothers and sisters. Here's another story I'd like to share with you. 8 years later, I received a call from my sister Peggy. Annie, you need to go and see Dad. He has cancer. I can't come, I stammered. Even thinking of my dad upset me. Too many memories of physical abuse. And he even blamed me for my mom's death. How could Peggy ask me to go see him? But Peggy also knew the regret I carried for not checking to see if our mom really did call me, something that would have taken me a few minutes turned into years. Annie, you already regret not going to see mom. Don't do it again. Peggy was right. I decided I would go and see my father after calling a few friends at Bible study to ask for prayer. Walking into the hospital room, my 51-year-old dad looked much older. His hair was nearly all white. He had teeth that were missing. Still, his face lit up when he saw me. Annie, you came. But why do you look so mad? It was not my fault Mom died, I managed to say. I know, he responded. But instead of spewing out my anger at him, God gave me the grace to just listen. And I heard something I had never heard in my whole life, an apology from my dad. And when he told me that he was sorry for the father he was to me, I heard myself say, "You did the best you could." That wasn't my plan, nor was it to reach down and kiss his cheek. Our best conversation was our last. The next day he died. Paul tells us when we are weak, then we are strong. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I experienced God's strength. Paul was right. Sometimes, my friends, it happens when you're even sitting in your car and you just happen to be listening to music and a song comes on. Here is another quick little story. I had been attending a Bible college in Wisconsin. One day, out of nowhere, my back started hurting me terribly. I went to the hospital and was put in traction for 6 weeks. At the end of that time, I still had pain. Having missed so many weeks of school, I had to drop out. Returning to Chicago, I received a hospital bill for $3,200. Though I had applied for assistance, it was declined because I was not a resident of Wisconsin. Therefore, I was eligible to receive aid. I waited and eventually received a final letter of denial. One Sunday night while attending a church service, we got to choose a hymn. Someone chose "How Firm a Foundation" by John Rippon. When we got to the words, "I am thy God, I will still give thee help," I started smiling and I felt like God was encouraging me to trust him. Isn't that beautiful? Something that you just don't lose hope completely, brothers and sisters. You just don't lose hope completely. And it's those moments that we're so grateful that it sort of brings us to a calm and a peace and a trust, knowing that God Almighty knows our every situation, our every challenge we go through in life and the challenges that are to come. and the challenges that we've had in the past. God has been with us all the time. Sometimes we don't appreciate the strength and the peace that comes from God. Sometimes we just take it for granted that, oh, we're feeling better. Oh, it's a good diagnosis. I'm cancer free. Sometimes we just go through our merry life and not realizing, wow, you know, we've underestimated our God. We don't realize how much God works in our life. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, there is a beautiful Bible verse, and I wanted to share it with you. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me." Let me read it again to you. My grace is sufficient for you. That's all we need, brothers and sisters, God's grace. For my power is made perfect in weakness. So when we are suffering, that's why in Scripture it says all the time, "Rejoice, I tell you, rejoice in me always, through everything. Give thanks to God through everything, the good, bad, and the ugly. Give thanks to God. Our scars are proof that God heals us, brothers and sisters." Sometimes people will say, well, crying isn't allowed, and keep your pain to yourself. Never let others know your weakness. These are things that we've heard throughout our life, and while many of us try to shake off their weight upon us, you'd be surprised how many people are haunted by these thoughts on a daily basis. You know, they just, as we can say, they suck it up, let's say, and just keep on going, right? And they carry the burden all on their shoulders. We live in a world that calls failure a weakness and labels weakness a flaw. We are taught to mask the truth because it's better if you keep that to yourself. And that the best way to lead is from our strengths instead of our weaknesses. If I can be honest, I think that our world has built itself on a shallow and narrow foundation. The truth is that this foundation is ready to crack at any second. While I know this is just my opinion, I think I have a pretty valid point to stand upon. I believe in a God of grace, of love, and second chances. And if it wasn't for those divine qualities all working together, I can tell you, I promise you, that I wouldn't be standing here today. I have been redeemed. I'm not proud of my past, but I do wear my scars on my sleeve, because I'm proud of who I've become in Christ. These scars remind me that I can conquer all things and that healing is possible through God. My failures and mistakes are not my most treasured moments, but because of them, I am now a living testimony of His redemption and grace. And guess what, my dear friends? So are you. Your story is His glory. Remember that. Your story is His glory. You have nothing to be ashamed of. You hold your head up and remember the struggles that you've gone through and you are going through, maybe even as we speak. They're His glory. Almighty God, share it with the world. Don't hide your scars. Wear them as proof that God heals. So, are you troubled by the problems of the world? It seems like a new conflict arises every day between nations even, and maybe even in your home and in our hearts. Well, we are called here Radio Maria Canada. Mary's heart holds the answers. When Our Lady appeared to the three children at Fatima, she revealed a vision of her Immaculate Heart encircled with thorns, representing the many sins that offend our Holy Mother. She pleaded with us to make reparation for sin and to pray for peace in the world. She offers us her Immaculate Heart as a refuge. Mary was truly created full of grace. Her soul was conceived immaculate and adorned with all virtues and perfections. This fullness of grace emanates from the very center of her being, her heart. It is the Immaculate Heart in its unspoiled perfection that is the wellspring of her purity. Our Lord took his sacred humanity from the flesh and blood of his Blessed Mother. Consider, my friends, the holy bond between Jesus' own heart and his mother's heart. At Calvary, their perfect hearts united in suffering for the salvation of mankind. My brothers and sisters, let's continue on this beautiful verse and beautiful journey. We must trust our Blessed Mother. So with that in mind, our beautiful broadcast with a litany, with a lovely litany of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Litany of Loreto. So as I say it, you can repeat, you'll repeat it, so that I'll start you off and then you can continue. And that is how we will close this broadcast today. So thank you, as I say, and as I always say to you, thank you again for joining me every Tuesday and Friday afternoon here on Radio Maria Canada. You've been listening to The Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. And as always, I'm so appreciative to our Blessed Mother for her intercession to bring us here together, you and I, listening and blessing and glorifying God and having our Blessed Mother intercede for us on our behalf. So with that in mind, here we go. Litany of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Litany of Loreto. Lord, have mercy on us. You would say, Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, hear us. Christ, graciously hear us. God, the Father of heaven, have mercy on us. So you will continue, have mercy on us, till I change it. God, the Son, Redeemer of the world, have mercy on us. God, the Holy Ghost, have mercy on us. Holy Trinity, one God, have mercy on us. Holy Mary, pray for us. Holy Mother of God, pray for us. Holy Virgin of Virgins, pray for us. Mother of Christ, pray for us. Mother of Divine Grace, pray for us. Mother Most Pure, pray for us. Mother Most Chaste, pray for us. Mother Inviolate, pray for us. Mother Undefiled, pray for us. Mother Most Amiable, pray for us. Mother Most Admirable, pray for us. Mother of Good Counsel, pray for us. Mother of our Creator, pray for us. Mother of our Savior, Virgin Most Prudent, pray for us. Virgin Most Venerable, pray for us. Virgin Most Renowned, pray for us. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us. Virgin Most Merciful, pray for us. Virgin Most Faithful, pray for us. Mirror of Justice, pray for us. Seat of Wisdom, Cause of our joy, pray for us. Spiritual vessel, pray for us. Vessel of honor, pray for us. Singular vessel of devotion, pray for us. Mystical rose, for us. Tower of David, pray for us. Tower of Ivory, pray for us. House of Gold, pray for us. Ark of the Covenant, pray for us. Gate of Heaven, pray for us. Morning Star, pray for us. Health of the Sick, pray for us. Refuge of Sinners, pray for us. Comforter of the Afflicted, pray for us. Help of Christians, pray for us. Queen of Angels, pray for us. Queen of Prophets, pray for us. Queen of Apostles, pray for us. Queen of Martyrs, pray for us. Queen of Confessors, pray for us. Queen of Virgins, pray for us. Queen of All Saints, pray for us. Queen conceived without original sin, pray for us. Queen assumed into Heaven, pray for us. Queen of the Most Holy Rosary, pray for us. Queen of Peace, pray for us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, spare us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, graciously hear us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Grant, we beseech you, O Lord God, that we, your servants, may enjoy perpetual health of mind and body, and by the glorious intercession of the Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, may be delivered from present sorrow and obtain eternal joy. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. So I remind everyone that this month, of course, is the Queenship of Mary. And according to ancient tradition and the sacred liturgy, the main principle on which the royal dignity of Mary rests in her divine motherhood. The archangel Gabriel spoke to Mary concerning the son whom she would conceive. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Elizabeth calls her the Mother of my Lord. Hence, Mary is a queen, since she bore a son who, at that very moment of his conception, because of the hypostatic union of the human nature with the Word, was also as man, King and Lord of all things. The heavenly voice of the archangel was the first to proclaim Mary's royal office. Furthermore, God has willed Mary to have an exceptional role in the work of our eternal salvation. And in accomplishing of this work of redemption, the Blessed Virgin Mary was most closely associated with Christ. Just as Jesus, because he redeemed us, he is our King by a special title, so the Blessed Virgin, who is also our Queen on account of the unique manner in which she assisted in our redemption, by giving of her own substance, by freely offering him for us, by her singular desire and petition for and active interest in our salvation. Mary is the new Eve. A virgin was instrumental in the salvation of the human race, just as Eve was closely associated with its death. As Christ, the new Adam must be called a king, not only because he is Son of God, but also because he is our Redeemer. So the Blessed Virgin is queen, not only because she is Mother of God, but also because as the new Eve, she was associated with the new Adam, for she had been chosen Mother of Christ in order that she might become a partner in the redemption of the human race. Mary, as mother of the divine Christ, as his associate in the redemption, in his struggle with his enemies, and in his final victory over them, has a share, though in a limited way, in his royal dignity. From her union with Christ, she attains a radiant eminence surpassing that of any creature. From her union with Christ, she receives the royal right to dispose of the treasures of the divine Redeemer's kingdom. From her union with Christ is derived the power of her motherly intercession before the Son and his Father. The sublime dignity of the Mother of God over all creatures can be better understood if we recall that Mary was, at that very moment of her Immaculate Conception, so filled with grace as to surpass the grace of all the saints. Besides, the Blessed Virgin possessed, after Christ, not only the highest degree of excellence and perfection, but also a share in that influence by which he, her Son, and our Redeemer, is rightly said to reign over the minds and wills of men. For if through his humanity the divine Word performs miracles and gives graces, if he uses his sacraments and saints as instruments for the salvation of men, why should he not make use of the role and the work of his Most Holy Mother in imparting to us the fruits of redemption? Mary intercedes powerfully for us, brothers and sisters. With a mother's prayers, she obtains what she seeks and cannot be refused, for almost immeasurable power has been given to her in the distribution of graces. We should glory in being subjects of the Virgin Mother of God, who, while wielding royal power, is on fire with a mother's love. And so, by reason of the gift and role of divine maternity, by which she is united with her Son, the Redeemer, and with his singular graces and functions, the Blessed Virgin is also intimately united with the Church. In the order of faith, as Saint Ambrose taught, actually, the Mother of God is a type of the Church in the order of faith, charity, and perfect union with Christ. For in the mystery of the Church, which is itself rightly called Mother and Virgin, the Blessed Virgin stands out in eminent and singular fashion as exemplar both of Virgin and Mother. By her belief and obedience, not knowing man, but overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, as the new Eve, she brought forth on earth the very Son of the Father. And so, brothers and sisters, thank you so much. God bless you, and see you next time.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. If I